Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to day three of creating a dynasty. Anybody feeling the energy this morning? I'm sorry, wrong room. Anybody here excited about day three of creating a dynasty? That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you would please move as quickly as you possibly can to your seats, because this is one of those days, like I said, I know I say this every day, but this is one of those days where you do not want to be late for anything. Because I always say the good stuff happens in like the first minute while you're still coming back from the restroom. Don't miss that. That's the good stuff. You know, if you can hear the sound of my voice, please say, shh. Oh, it's like a cleansing breath. You guys are wonderful about that. Thank you so much. You are amazing and awesome. You're a powerful, exciting audience, and you are 2 days ahead. You are 2 days ahead of where you were 2 days ago. So, okay, general housekeeping stuff. No video or audio recording today. I know you're going to see some things. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I got to get this on my phone. Don't. I will send you the MP3. All right, cool. All right, let's just do that. So honor that. The seat that you're in is the seat for the morning session and the afternoon session. So get to know the person on your left. Get to know the person on your right. They might be your new best friend, and you don't even know it. All right, now you got to know them. Say, shh. Oh, that's beautiful. That's just beautiful. I love when you do that. So, okay, we got a lot of amazing material to cover today. And is there a seat open next to anybody? Anybody got a seat that's still wide open? We still have a few stragglers coming in the back of the room. So if you got a hand, if you got a seat empty next to you, hold your hand up. And I don't mean your spouse's seat. I saw that, James. No. If there's a seat open next to you, hand up so we can fill it. There's still a few people coming in. Make sure you honor the people around you today. Don't leave your garbage, you know, stuff like that. General housekeeping. We are 2 percenters now, or at least we're 2.5 percenters, right? Who's like a 2.75 percenter? We're working on, we're not quite there yet. All right, we're getting there. I want you to be so ready for what's coming down the pipe today. Who got some great stuff from Danny Johnson the last 2 days? Who got some stuff that wrecked you from Hans Johnson the last 2 days? Who had to totally rethink their strategy after the last 2 days? Who had to totally rethink their family after the last 2 days? Who's just a traffic wreck like I am? Right? Come on, we're getting better. We're 2.75 percenters. All right, very good. Well, today, Hans Johnson is going to take this stage today. But wait, before you scream, before you go nuts. Hans Johnson is going to take this stage today to introduce someone else. Now, just let that sink into your cranium for a second. Hans Johnson is going to introduce somebody else. Now, talk about a level of honor that goes along with that. So your eyeballs are on the stage, your ears are open, your mouth is shut, and your notes are out and being taken, because this could change the game in every part of your life, which you're going to hear this morning, and I don't overstate that. So please help me to welcome to the stage Mr. Hans Johnson!
What's up, guys? Hey, what's going on? Good morning! How you guys feeling? You guys ready for day three? Are you awake yet? We should have had some music again, didn't we? Yeah, we kind of missed the boat there. That's my, yeah. Next time, you guys ready for some music, right? Okay, you guys are awesome. All right, so thank you so much for your just amazing energy, and really appreciate you guys just even getting a chance to say hi and meet some of you, and just thank you for who you are. You guys are salt of the earth right here, I'll tell you that. I don't know any other place in the world that is quite like this place right here, right now, with you, okay? And I'm going to... So Toby, you guys, some of you guys have met Toby. Toby is, he's an incredible, incredible guy. He and I have been, quote, doing business since 1999. Our first legal entity was with their company out of Nevada. And... boy, that Suzuki dude jacked my voice up the other morning. Suzuki on the Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Okay. All right. Oh, let's see. How much trouble could I get in this morning? All right. Woo! Oh, all right. I got a couple minutes. No, okay. So anyway, back onto the task at hand. So what would happen is every year when you do your corporate signings and stuff, Toby's signature would show up on our stuff. It would be A.T. Mathis. And this happened year after year after year after year. And so we've been doing business with their company all these years, and then started this company, and it grew, and it's really kind of wild because every time I saw that signature every year, because I would manage the keeping the books updated and stuff like that, I just thought he was like some kind of robo signature dude, you know, like I didn't know he was a real person, right? Just signature type of deal. So anyway, a few years back, we happened to meet in person, and I was like, oh my God, he's a real guy, you know? And what's amazing is that this guy, you know, he's an attorney, he specializes in business taxation and estate planning, and he'll tell you about his background, but he's like a real, real true credentialed person, okay? he's very, very smart. And very intelligent, but he's a business owner, an operator, and builder himself, as well as an investor. And but he's got a heart that really aligns with us and what we're doing here. He in his industry, which he'll tell you about, has seen a lot of stuff go on and a lot of. Bad advisors, right? And when he and I finally met in person, I was going through a season and a period where I was doing some massive restructuring and basically in the process of like massively cleaning house of existing advisors. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday and what that kind of an experience is when you when you're building a business or you're building wealth. You need advisors, but you have to educate. You've got to have a level of education, and you got to know that it's your responsibility, right? And so, so anyway, we're very, very happy to have Toby here, and happy that he could make it. He has a very busy schedule, but he's a close friend of mine. The guy is just—he's got a great heart. He's extremely knowledgeable, and I think that. You know, he does an incredible job at making information that would normally be not so interesting. He does an incredible job at making it very palatable and very interesting. And so I would just say that you should take notes. You should definitely take notes, even if you don't have an LLC or a corporation or, you know, if you're not, you should, because what it does, and sometimes, how many of you, sometimes learning certain topics hurts your brain? Anybody? Okay. That... That brain hurt is the brain stretching. And so you shouldn't run away from that. You shouldn't, what most people do is they kind of shut down, they tune out. What you want to do is you want to just engage. You want to say, okay, Father, let my brain, like, show me what's going on. Open my ears to hear this language, these terms, this stuff that's going on. And so just kind of relax. Take notes, though. Have a relaxed intensity and focus, right? Because you're going to hear and be exposed, particularly the estate planning, because we didn't get into this yesterday, but with True Wealth Formula, the top, kind of the capstone is legacy planning. And Toby is the guy that we work with for our trusts and things like that that we do. And so, and he and I are working together right now on a more legacy, a more True Wealth Formula legacy model style estate structure versus the classic structure, which is what I call the die and distribute model, which personally I don't like. But and so just know that he is a close friend of mine. He is one of our closest advisors. For me, on the legal and the estate and the financial accounting side, but then in the business, he's an advisor on the actual business side of it as well, and I know many of our clients work with him as well, or people within his company. So please help me give a warm, amazing, creating a dynasty welcome for Toby Mathis.
Built like a brick shit house. Thank you. You guys are sweet. All right. I worked for three judges and they'd always say, please be seated. Now I get to do it. You guys are very kind. I appreciate that. Now, Hans called me this morning and said, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to wear pastels. And he wears the man color, and I'm like... Real men wear pink. We're going to change this up quite a bit today, guys. How many of you have heard me speak before? Yeah, I kind of figured there'd be a group. You guys travel in packs. So I'm going to do this very differently than what you've seen before. And there's a reason for it, because I've been learning more and more and more about this community. And I'm seeing where there could be some needs. So we're going to try to fill those needs. So we're going to have a little bit of fun today. First thing we're going to do today, do you ever take time and just be grateful? Okay. So what we're going to do is I want you guys to just quietly be grateful, and I'm going to read you a couple stories. Dear Judge Chin, I was always taught to do the right thing. I called adults Mr. and Mrs. I did my homework. I got good grades. I made my bed. I saved my allowance. I grew up in Levittown, New York, and my mom stayed home to raise three daughters while Dad went to Brooklyn to work. Each week, as I recall, Dad gave Mom $5 for clothes for us girls. Mom saved it in a small plastic change purse. And when she had saved enough, she'd buy an outfit for one girl. Then she saved again until she had enough to buy for the next girl. Seeing this helped me to learn about financial responsibility. I carried that lesson throughout my life and still live it today. It stayed with me through college. When I saved to buy my first car, when I was married for the first time and saved to buy my first house, when I was newly single and had to adjust from two salaries to one smaller one. And when I found the love of my life, my current husband, and we decided to purchase a motorhome to travel the country in our retirement. I worked and I saved and I reaped the benefits. My life was perfect. Dominic and I woke up every day to a calm world full of adventures for us to explore. We hiked and biked through many of the national parks. We met people along the way who had become dear friends. We experienced the beauty of our country from the safety of our rolling home. We were happy and we appreciated the security we had because we did the right thing. On December 11th, 2008, I was volunteering time in a lapidary shop. Dominic was with me and he was using his construction skills to volunteer and build a new table for some equipment in the shop. I was happy to be sharing time with him. We are best friends as well as husband and wife. Then I got a phone call that would change our lives forever. I was numb, and the reality and enormity of the call couldn't penetrate my brain. I told Dominic, and we both just sat silently, completing the tasks we were doing. The air in the room was thick, and there was silence. The birds that had been chirping stopped singing. The squirrels stopped scurrying. The sun stopped shining. There was a void. I had no idea at the time what this would mean to us. We were retired with a small income from Dominic's career with the New York City Department of Corrections. Our entire life savings was invested with Bernie Madoff. We actually scrimped and saved to get as much money invested as possible. After all, this was our future and our security. We sold our home in 2004 and placed all of the profits, and there were plenty, into Madoff. We took out a mortgage on the motorhome because we didn't want to withdraw the money from Madoff. We lived a modest life, not wanting for anything, but not overindulging either. We were content. In the last 6 months, our lives have been something from a bad science fiction movie. The emotional devastation is too intense to describe in words. The safety net that we had worked so hard to ensure was in place was gone, and now we were living our lives with no protection. If we get a flat tire, we are thrown into a panic. If we need medical assistance, we have to forsake it. This is not what we worked our entire lives for. I haven't cried too many times during this ordeal. I don't have time. I'm trying to rebuild my life as I do. I watch my husband going back to work, leaving at 5 a.m. each morning to work 100-plus degree heat. Now I spend an average of 15 to 18 hours each day coordinating an online group for the Madoff victims. We are searching for justice to get our lives back. That's number one. There are thousands of these. Here's another one. For 30 years, I worked as a forester for the City of Boulder's Park and Recreation Department. I retired a year ago thinking I had a nice nest egg to live off of before all this tragedy happened. My husband is an electrical contractor and worked many long hours during the Colorado construction boom in the 90s. We lived under our means for many years, saving money and investing in diversified funds for our retirement years and for our daughter's education. Talia was only 3 months old when we put money away in an annuity for her college education. I had listened to many older coworkers over the years about not having enough money to afford a good college education for their children. I was determined that we would be different. Ironically, now I find I don't have any money to send my daughter to college after planning and setting money aside from early on. Like many, our savings have been completely wiped out. Now, middle age, we have to start over and try and rebuild at a time when there are minimal jobs and very little construction. We'll have to sell our home to support both our parents as they have no money. because they had it in a safe and well-known investment firm. I can't tell you how scattered we feel. It goes beyond financially. It reaches to the core and affects your general faith in humanity, our government, and basic trust in our financial system. Like I said, there's thousands of them. Bernie Madoff had $6 billion invested with him. The other firms that gave him money, $60 billion. Banks, financial institutions. Do you know where your money's invested? What did they do wrong? Do you guys know the parable of the talents? Master left, he gave 5 talents to one of his servants, 2 talents to another, and 1 to another. A talent, by the way, is like 10 years of income. So it was an awful lot of money. The one he gave 5 talents to invested it, and when he came back, gave him his original 5 talents plus 5 more. The second one, who had 2 talents, gave him 2 talents plus 2 more. The third one, what did he do with it? He buried it. And what happened to him? He gave him back his money, but he was punished. Why was he punished? Why? He didn't put it to work. He didn't manage it. We're all given something. It may be 5, 2, 1. It's your job to control it. Abjugated, it's one of these funny things. When I went to high school, I went to a Catholic high school, and they had Spanish and they had Latin. And my parents said, "You should take Latin." Everybody speaks Latin. But I know what abjugated means. It means to separate from control. They abjugated. They unyoked it. Do you unyoke your finances? Now, I need a strong, strapping man. All right. You can say. He's fast. All right. Here's how money works. I love Coke Zero. Hold on to that. Is that heavy? Is that heavy? You can handle that, right?
I got it.
All right. Now hold it out at the end of your arm like this. All right. We're going to check in with you in about 15 minutes. Right? It's not heavy, right? What's going to start happening here? It's going to start getting a little heavier. How does it feel now?
You know, it's pretty good.
Pretty good? How's it feeling now?
I'm just a little wet now.
Hold it up. Hold it up. Don't be a wuss. Teasing. I got pastels on, but you got... Money's like that. Now, here's how it works. If that gets heavy enough, does it start to really hurt your arm? Do you think that, like in an hour, if we checked with him, do you think he'd be in a lot of pain? All right. Would you like me to hold it for you as it gets heavy? Thank you. Uh-huh. As the pressure gets more with our money, what do? We give it to somebody else. Thank you for your time. Yeah. As the more pain you're in, the more pressure you feel, what do you start doing? I tell you what you do. You lose faith in yourself, and you think somebody else is smarter than you. Because there's these guys that say they're financial advisors. And we'll learn about financial advisors today. So here's the bigger question. By the way, who here is a millionaire? Makes $1 million a year or more? A few people. How many people? There's a few. Stand up. Do you have advisors? Me? I'm a badass advisor. Do you have mentors? Did they tell you, as you were earning money, to just hand it over to other people? What did they tell you? Hold on to it as tight as you can to keep control of it, right? Steward it. So we have 2 million. Oh, we got some more. What's your husband? Oh, you're the one who makes all the money. No, the fact of the matter is, if we had self-control, think about this. If we all had really good self-control, we'd all be rich and skinny. When I look in the mirror, I'm always like, you need better self-control, Toby. That's the truth, though. We have a few of you guys. Thank you. So why don't we look and see what happens and what do the rich do? We can actually tell. So we'll dive into it. But let's think of the reasons that we tell ourselves why we don't. Why aren't you a millionaire? Think of all the reasons of why you're not a millionaire. Because there's an unlimited amount of money out there. We get raised with scarcity thinking there's only so much, I better get mine. It's unlimited, guys. They keep printing more money that we know about, right? No time. I'm broke. I have no money. Guys, when I started my law practice, I had no money. And I mean no money. I still tell my daughter, she's in college, and she goes, well, you just use a credit card. I'm like, no, there were qualifications back then for credit cards, sweetie. Apparently, I didn't have a pulse. I'm like, I had no money. I was Poe. The boss, the man, everybody's holding me down, right? Oh, my spouse, they're so demanding. Or they don't get it. How many of you guys make that excuse? Don't raise your hand if you're sitting next to him. My parents taught me. They were poor. I'm doing exactly what they taught me. I don't have enough knowledge. What are all those things? They're also resources. Resources. You're complaining about resources. How many of you know somebody who pulled themselves out of nothing and made a fortune? All right. That's because they quit looking at resources and instead focused on resourcefulness. How do I get to that point? Believe it or not, I'll give you guys a parable. It's one of my favorite stories. Bruno and Pablo. You guys know Bruno and Pablo? Okay, for those of you guys who don't. Bruno and Pablo were in a town. This is back, way back when. We'll call it some year way before now. Bruno and Pablo in the town of, who knows. And the town needed water. They have a big cistern in the middle of the town where they need it filled with water. So they say, Bruno and Pablo, we will pay you a penny a bucket for water. And they say, this is awesome. I can make a penny a bucket. I'm going to get rich. And so the lake or the river, body of water, whatever you want to call it, was about a mile away. So they start hauling their buckets. They figured that they could carry 2 buckets, and they could come back and forth, and they could do 100 buckets a day. And they would carry those buckets. And they would go, okay, this is awesome. I'm making $1 a day, which was a lot of money in that whatever place they lived. Bruno was living the life. Like, he's making a buck a day. He got himself a tricked out donkey, and he's like... got himself a black muumuu. Pablo, stuck in the pink. Pablo says there's got to be a better way. I would like to build a pipeline. And he starts pitching the idea of a pipeline to the town, saying, how about I build a pipeline to the water? And Bruno said, why the hell would we do that? We're making a buck a day. Why would I do the pipeline? And Pablo said, well, I'm going to start doing it in my free time. So Pablo would carry his buckets every day, and then after work, what would he go do? He'd go work and start building the pipeline. And he found out that it was almost pure, through pure rock. So he had to work his tush off. And it was so much work, he started doing it on weekends too. And everybody would say, ooh, it's Pablo the pipe builder. And Bruno's living large. Bruno's like, come out with me. Pablo, you drop it low. And Pablo's like, none of that. No, I'm just going to keep working on what I'm doing. I'm going to build my pipeline. About a year later, Pablo had built the pipeline halfway to the town. And he says, you know what? I can bring the water this far. Now I have half the distance to go. I can start doing a lot more buckets. And then, because he had that extra time, what was he able to do? Finish the pipeline. And all of a sudden, Bruno, well, the market kind of fell out on Bruno. The water became plentiful, as we said. Yep. What happened to Bruno? Yeah. Started hanging out in bars. Sitting in the corner, drinking a little. He wasn't so happy. He was like, oh man, this sucks. But what you'll understand about pipe builders is pipe builders are generous and they like to share. And so Pablo said, Bruno, I saw how hard you worked your butt off. Why don't you help me build pipelines for other towns? And what do you think Bruno said? No, he said, hell yeah, I'm like getting drunk in a bar every night. How about, you go, would you really help me? Would you really teach me to do it? And Pablo's like, yeah, I learned how to build a pipeline. I learned and I want to teach you how to build a pipeline too. How many millionaires do you know? How many people that are successful do you know? And how often do they want to share what they know? And they would go to towns and they would say, let's build a pipeline. You know what they would do? The town people? They'd say, why would we do that? We got buckets. In fact, we got big buckets. You had little buckets. I got big buckets. I can even carry more water. We're making $2 a day, you losers. Why would we do it to pipeline? And everywhere they went, they'd hit that resistance. Because we've been taught to do what? Carry buckets. Doctors have big buckets. Mechanics have littler buckets. McDonald's guys have cups. It's true, though. What's the difference between a pipeline builder and a bucket carrier? It's making a decision. And even though everybody's telling you not to do it, it's taking control of your own actions and deciding you're going to do it. I'm going to allow you guys today, before we're done, I'm going to go over pipelines, what they are. Because I feel like if there's one thing that I could bring to the table is, after decades of working with high net worth individuals, I know what the pipelines are, and I know what the buckets are. And I can tell you, when we do the calculation, 99% of this room is carrying buckets. And I'm going to say, let's build pipelines. Right? First thing is called the checkup from the neck up. It's not my drinking that's got me stinking. It's my stinking thinking that's got me drinking. It's, we just got to fix here. The guy in the mirror, the gal in the mirror. And they think differently. Rich people think differently. Does anybody disagree with that? Raise your hand if you disagree that rich people think differently. Good. They don't have resistance. The number one factor is something called locus of control. They've done tons of studies, and by they, I mean people with PhDs and things like that that I think are smart. No. What you do is you go out and you actually ask people. So you go out and you poll. Hey, let's poll 1,000 people with adjusted gross incomes over $1 million. Let's poll 1,000 people who make $50,000 or less. And let's ask them all the same question. And you know what locus of control is? Anybody ever heard that phrase? One person, two people. You can put your pinky out when you're at the cocktail party. You don't know what a locus of control is. All right. Locus of control is a belief that you have control of your outcomes. Do you believe you have control of your outcomes? Mm-hmm. Who's your boss, by the way? All right. Is it anybody that's sitting in this room? No. So who do you care about? What everybody else is saying? Hey, carry buckets, make more money. Get a tricked out donkey. No, I don't want to have a tricked out donkey. What I want is a pipeline that allows me to spend time with people that I care about and do what I want to do. I have a pipeline. I'm a volunteer. Danny has a pipeline. She's a volunteer. You probably have a pipeline. You're a volunteer. How does it feel to volunteer? Does it feel good? Yep, and you can always give time. You give time to those that are less fortunate, but you can give time to anybody. What the rich have done is they've taken the time to learn to work successfully with money. They do not let money control them. So now the big question is, how do you gain control over money? I can tell you exactly how to gain control by teaching you what not to do first. But the first thing we have to figure out is erase your brain. You don't know. None of us know. Doorstep to the temple of wisdom is the knowledge of our own ignorance. And here's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to repeat it. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing don't cut it up and put it in a fruit salad because it's going to suck. With everything, we want to learn, then remove the L. It doesn't happen the other way around unless you're lucky. And by the way, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Anybody here fish? Right. Do you catch fish when your hook's out of the water? I remember going fishing with my dad, and I put a little worm on the hook, and I put it in there, and every 5 seconds I was doing what? And he'd say, Toby, quit playing with your worm. Why, Dad? You'll go blind. Have no idea what that has to do with fishing. I think he was talking about fishing. All right. Won't be invited back. So, guys, quit playing with your worms. We're done. All right. If you could just learn that one lesson, you'd be way better off in life. You'd have lots of extra time. So, what we're going to learn today, 8 ways to stay poor. Because if we can learn how people get poor... I'm so sorry. I'm combing my hair. Stop it. Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about the secret of infinity. This is powerful, guys. This is going to blow your socks off. I love this. And I've never gotten to do it in front of this group before. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to totally break your brains on this one. All right, and then we're going to go back to how to create your family dynasty, if we have time. I think we will. And by the way, every one of these pieces, we will have sections on. I will go into great detail should you decide to be part of Anderson. And there's a lot of free stuff. Today I'm going to do something that we haven't done before. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. All right, how to stay four. These are the traits that psychologists have gone through, and they said, what's the difference? And they ask all sorts of questions, and they figure out that there's patterns with the poor versus those that have adjusted gross income of over $1 million, which is the top 1%. We're not even talking 2%. Let's look at 1%. Is that fair? You want to be in the top 2%? Shoot for like the top 0.01%. Number one is money worship. Money worship. If you worship money, you will not get it. If that's your goal, sorry. Are you being faithful with money? Are you taking care of the poor, the widows? Are you taking care of people that can't take care of themselves? Are you sharing your heart if you're worshiping money? No, you can't. It will be taken away from you. Absolutely, positively. And if it's not you, they'll take it away from your kids or your grandkids. What I know for certain is that you will have no lineage. For sure. Number two, status envy. You start paying attention to everybody else that's got the Lamborghini, the big house, you're screwed. Do not allow that envy to enter your heart. Money avoidance. Money sucks. Money is the root of all evil. Okay. You get that in your head, guess what? You won't have any. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Money allows you to do things that others can't. Money gives you something that's really important. It's called freedom. And it's the freedom to give your time to whom you want and under certain conditions. If you don't have it, it can be tough. If you have a money avoidance scheme, which, by the way, is probably the number one trait of those families that never seem to get out of poverty, is because they believe that money is bad. Money's not bad. Money makes you more of what you already are. And if you're a butt, you're going to be a really big, big, hairy, zitty butt. Number four, the poor refuse to face facts. There are facts that stare us in the face. If you spend more than you make, guess what? You will be poor. They don't like to do budgets because then they have to do what? Face the facts. What are the three rules of financial planning? Calculate, calculate, calculate. Numbers don't lie, people do. Facts. Number five, they overspend. Poor people love to spend. They get spinners on their new car. Don't know why. I meet people and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're in debt and you got spinners. I would not be calling attention to yourself. They fail to adjust to life changes. If you get a divorce, poor people like to say, screw that, I'm still going to do this, that, and the other. I'm still going to go out. I'm newly divorced. I'm going to go out. Raise the roof. I'll show him or I'll show her. Yeah, that's not adjusting. That's called malfunctioning. They're putting the fun in dysfunction. The other one, guys, and this is huge, and if I could like whack something at like a few of you guys come in, and I just sometimes want to reach and just go, whap. I'll bring Hans up, and he goes, plow him and choke him. They focus on saving only. If you make $50,000 a year, how much can you save? The maximum amount you could possibly save if you did not eat is how much? All right. How much could you make? Unlimited. So where should you be focusing more of your energy? I'm making. Right. When Danny talks, and I know she says this because I talk to Danny all the time, in business, how much time should you be spending on prospecting? 80%. In your life, you should be spending 80% on what? Prospecting, bringing in other sources of income. If you want to be poor, do nothing more than cut coupons all the time. The last thing that the poor love to do is they love to be rock bottom price. They're cheap. Hey, I'm cheap, and they do not recognize value. You know what? If you pay me $50,000 and I save you $5 million, is that a good value? Yeah, but they'd be like whining. I'm not going to pay anybody $50,000. There's a great story, and this is true. There was a nuclear facility that was having a little issue, and they couldn't figure it. And there was one expert in the United States that knew the system. And it was all these panels. It was like in the 80s, so it was like kind of back when. So they had to hire this guy to come out. The guy comes out. And his bill was $10,000 off, come out and fix the problem. He goes in there, and in about 5 minutes, he goes, oh, it's this. You just have to reconnect it. Boom. Did it. Done. For weeks, this facility had been down. He fixed it in about 5 minutes. Why? He had specialized knowledge. So he gave them a bill for $10,000, and the CEO objected and said, you worked for like 15 minutes. I'm not going to give you $10,000. And he goes, okay, let me change my invoice. For his time, he put 15 minutes, zero. Knowing what the problem was, $10,000. The rich understand specialized knowledge, and they value it. And that goes with anything. If somebody says, you should never buy good shoes, okay, I get it. You don't want to overspend. But I have a pair of shoes. I bought my first pair of Ferragamos. I went nuts. I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. I have a few dollars. Because remember, I was po. I was po, 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 po. I'd go to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. I was poor. Jackie, were you eating spicy? Gonna ask him to leave. So I bought a pair of Ferragamos. They're like, they look the exact same as when I bought them, and I wear them all the time. The things are like you could blast them with a flamethrower. Those things are like, the leather's amazing. And I always think, like, somebody said, you paid $400 for shoes? It's like, hell yeah. But guess what? They're older than my kid. They're 20 years old. And they still look like they're brand new. Trips me out. I think it's like some aliens came down with very good taste. All right, let's talk about facing facts. Facing facts. Here's facts. I promise you this, guys. If you actually do the calculations, you'll see exactly what I mean. Number one, you're being stolen from. If you have a 401k, a 529 plan, if you have any sort of retirement plan where you've abdicated your responsibility and given somebody else to manage it, chances are you're being stolen from. Fact. And the only people right now who are saying, no, I'm not, are the ones that are in the financial industry because they don't want to face the fact that that industry was designed to steal from us. It is. Sorry. It's absolutely a ripoff. It almost destroyed our world with default credit swaps, which I'd give somebody a dollar if they actually understood what that meant. It's ridiculous. Anybody here from the financials planning world? A few of you guys? Sorry. Am I being honest? Right. What do they talk about? Sell product. Sell our product. You guys want to know a fact? Something, and I'll teach you the fiduciary rule, but there's something called the fiduciary rule, where 2 years ago, it changed so that if you have a retirement account, the financial institution has to put your best interest before their own. And so, like Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, guess what their employees did? They sued their employer over their 401k, saying, because you used our products in our 401k, you breached your fiduciary duty to us. Go Google it. You'll see hundreds of cases. What does that tell you? Who do you work with, by the way, for financial services? You have your own company, so you're a broker and you work with, so you can pick who you want to work with, right? And I bet you do calculations to see what's best for your client. Are you a CFP, RIA, what are you? RIA? Okay, stand up for a second. Actually, come here. We're going to skip to something. Okay, Chris, it doesn't matter. I know what you are. These are his buddies. So if you go to Luigi and you ask, what should you have for dinner, what is Luigi going to tell you?
Steak.
Steak. Is that good for you? Your colon is going to be very angry at you. No, they're going to tell you to eat steak. Why? Because he's a butcher. You're going to your butcher for financial advice. What are they going to tell you? You go to your bank and you say, hey, what should I invest in? Well, what desk am I sitting at? Let's see. I'm sitting at the CD desk. They're going to tell me to invest in CDs. I'm over at the insurance desk. What are they going to tell me to invest in? Insurance. Right. Now, the other person is this. This gal here, that's a nutritionist. Is she going to tell you to eat meat every night?
No.
What is she going to say? Yeah. Yawn. More leafy vegetables. He's my doppelganger. All right. The difference between those is the difference between brokers, and it's Chris?
Yes, sir.
All right, Chris. What's your licensing? 65?
63, 65, 731, and a bunch of other stuff.
Does that make sense to any of you guys? Good. All you say is, are you a fiduciary, Chris? What does fiduciary mean?
Their interest first.
Their interest first. 90% of the public, when asked, believes that their financial advisor is a fiduciary. What percentage of advisors do you believe, just you may not know this, do you believe are actually fiduciaries?
I don't know.
It's less than a third. See the problem here? Chris is the nutritionist. The guy that's pitching next to Chris is probably a butcher. And that's why we get ripped off. They don't have to put your needs first. They use what's called suitability. And suitability to me is real simple. If I have a family of four, two Corvettes is suitable. Because there's two people could ride in each one. A fiduciary standard would be, get the damn minivan. Thank you, Chris. And thanks for being a fiduciary. That's facts, guys. Let me see if I can find where I was now. Chris, you threw me off. All right. So Chris can't steal from you. That's why you go to a fiduciary. And his 65 is what makes him a fiduciary. CFP makes you a fiduciary. And you know what? Chris, bless his heart. Oh, that's a Texas phrase. Where are you from? You know what bless your heart means in Texas, right? You're so stupid. No, Chris, bless your heart, is going to get paid substantially. It's teasing. You're not stupid. If I was Texan, I would maybe. Chris will get paid substantially less than his cohorts that are ripping off their clients. Is that fair? Right? It's a tough road to hoe because you're sitting there and you're looking at your other buddies, and by the way, they have big buckets. They have big buckets, and they're living on the, they got the tricked out donkey, and he's walking. Chris is walking. He's lucky to have sandals. It's a tough road to hoe, right? Soft pillow every night. You can sleep, and you're helping people. They do not reward. And that's exactly right. You take a huge pay cut. I work with the CFP, Dave McShane, who made a ton of money as a bank VP, and he left that industry to be a CFP and gets the crud kicked out of him. Absolutely. It's a fraction of what you normally make. All right. Stolen from. The other thing is time is the most important. So you ever heard of Idea Lab? Idea Lab is an incubator, and they brought us things like PetSmart and a bunch of internet companies. I'm trying to think of some of the bigger ones, but GoTo.com and a bunch of other. Makes billions, 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 billions with B. They also brought like one of those grocery delivery companies to us that failed. But they go through and they look at all of their different investments and they would rate them, and they found, I think it was Bill Gross, he did this, we would do this during a TED Talk, the number one factor of success isn't how much money is in the company, it's the timing of the company. How many of you guys do Airbnb? Quite a few? All right. Airbnb worked because it was 2008 and we were in a recession. Because if we were making tons of money, why the heck would you rent out a room in your home? Hey, let's have strangers stay in my house. I'd probably say no. Turn up the pain. I'm holding the Coke out here. It's starting to feel a little painful. Yeah, okay. They can come stay. All right? The other one is compounding is king. Do you guys know what compound interest is? They use it against you. Use it as your friend, too. And protecting wealth is important as creating wealth. It's not enough to build the pipeline, but if you let people go in and drill a hole in the side of the pipeline and take your water out of it, or if the lawyers come in and say, hey, you violated my easement, or land use issues, or hey, you dug without a permit, you know, you're going to get all that crap, they'll take it away. And so protecting what you build is just as important as building your pipeline. This is compound interest. And what these lines mean in a nutshell is this top line, that very top line, I might be able to use this, you do this with a pen. This one up here means no tax, no fees, nobody's taking a piece out of it. This line down here is your investment. Do you guys want to see something magical? And this is not Chris. Chris, we give a big, this big difference right here. Chris, we're going to give you a pass on this, but this is going to freak you out. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. Because all these companies that like to rip us off are publicly traded, so guess what they get to do? They get to publish all their numbers so we can actually see what they do. This is how much they make off of your account during your lifetime. Notice what that graph looks like. Does it look like the bottom line or the top line? Let's put them side by side. So whose retirement is it? 70% of your money will go to them. How many people have a 401k? You can go ahead and puke now. How many people have like a Merrill account? Oh, and they'll tell you, where's the Zushnitz? I could tell you, like, stand up just for a second. I'm not going to go into your situation, but but when we had a discussion about your financial planner, and I said what he would say if you tried to do what you were doing, which was to take control away from him and give control to whom? To you. What did he do? He said you can't do that. He said you can't do that. Can you do that?
We did that.
We did that. I tell you, and I told them, this is what he's going to do, because that's their retirement. They have now got you. Reality, cost of a mutual fund. I'm going to bust through this. The actual cost of a mutual fund. What do you guys think, by the way? If you went on to into a financial journal, you looked at the Wall Street Journal, and they said, how much does a mutual fund cost? What do you guys think it costs? Anybody want to throw some numbers out? Anybody here have a mutual fund? How much does it cost? 1%. They'll tell you one. That's what they're required to disclose. Stealing, to me, is secreting away somebody's asset. So they're stealing from you because the actual cost is 5.82. That's when you add in the tax cost, the hard money cost, the management cost, the things they don't have to disclose, the cash drag, meaning that when you invest in a mutual fund, guess what? You didn't buy anything yet. The money's just sitting in a fund waiting to be deployed, which means that it's not making anything. And then they say, your mutual fund went up 7%. Did it? No. You know how you can do that calculation? What was my account at the beginning of the year? What was my account at the end of the year? The difference between those is how much you made. Has anybody done that calculation? All right, stand up. Did you do that calculation? And what did it end up being? Less? That less money than that you put in? Less than what you put in? Holy crap, did they tell you you made money?
Well, honestly, after I had visited with you, I kind of severed that relationship and didn't put any more money in. So that was probably why it dropped, but then I took it out.
Wait a second. If you didn't put any more money in, how did it drop? They drop because they fee you to death.
Yeah.
Yep. It's fine. Anybody else do the calculation? You did the calculation. What did it end up being?
We were told after 1 year being with a particular company that we had made 9% on our money. We did the calculations, came out to 1%.
What was the company? Let's bash him. Integrity. You know what integrity means? Latin. Integer. It's being who you are. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever says I'm acting with an integrity and they're a jerk? They're acting with integrity. You're like, you have good integrity. Enron, that was one of their values. They were right there. They acted exactly how they are. So what we do is we break down accounts. There's software that'll do it. And we can take a look. This is an actual account from one of you guys. I don't put the name on it, but if anybody recognizes it, it's you. And the reason I break this down is because I look and say, here's all the hidden fees. Here's how much they're actually paying. Their average fee on their $400,000 account was 4.29%. $17,000 a year. What their fee could have been if they just did it in a managed ETF, which is what Chris does, instead of $17,000 a year, it would have been at how much? $1,000. Here, I'll make it big. It would have cost them $1,000. So how much extra money do you get every year? $16,000 a year on $400,000. This isn't a lie, guys. This is actually a breakdown of an actual account. So if you have an investment account, go check it out. They'll rip you. We already talked about our Luigi, the butcher. All right, the next one is, this is my favorite, infinity theory. And you're going to do a calculation. The secret of infinity. And infinity thinking. There's 8 types of income. A lot of you guys are used to hearing 7 types of income, right? Or you may have never even heard that before. So I'm going to go over 8 types of income. The 8 types of income are wages, profits from business, rents, royalties, dividends, interest, short-term capital gains, and long-term capital gains. Those first 2 are sweat of your brow types of income. In other words, I had to work my butt off for it. Rents are what you get off of what? Real estate. Do you have to work your butt off for the real estate? No, you can't house the family. You know, I have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath rental. It's not you doing anything. The renter's doing all the work. What's a royalty? It's something that's paid off of intellectual property. So it could be a book, it could be a movie, it could be any intellectual property, I get a royalty. It could be a licensing fee. Yeah, I could make software. It's something also that's passive. They're taxed differently, by the way. These two, top two, are taxed with something called Social Security. Not to get geeky on you, but old age, death, and survivors, 12.4%. Medicare is 2.9%, so that's 15.3% before we even talk about federal income tax or state income tax. You get screwed on those first two. Dividends are paid out of companies. Dividends, like on a C Corp. What are they taxed at, by the way? They're actually taxed at long-term capital gains rates. So they're not necessarily a bad thing. They could be zero, 15%, or 20%. Interest income. Passive. What creates interest? A loan. Notes. Lending money. By the way, if you have money in an IRA, could you loan that out to somebody? Yeah. Then there's short-term capital gains. Short-term capital gains. Short-term capital gains, I break this out. Most people just call it capital gains, but I don't look at them the same. Where's Marquet? Can I borrow you for a second? So short-term capital gains is if you are selling options on something, if you are buying and selling a capital asset within a year. So how many of you guys know Marquet? Who you guys? I'd like to bring you up. All right, so Hans knows Marquet. So Marquet and I have known each other since when? 98?
Yeah,
98. All right, so...
We were seven.
Seven? When we were in preschool, we met. She was roommates with one of our lawyers, and you were working a financial, like, $15 an hour job or something like that. What was it?
It was a public relations marketing job right out of college.
So she was making huge bucks.
I was told I'd make a ton of money, and I made $14 an hour.
After. All right. So tell them how much you invested in the stock market.
$2,000.
How much of it was yours?
I put in $1,000, my sister put in $500, and my mom put in $500.
2 years later, how much was it?
$2 million.
All right. Sit down. Why is that important? Because she just did it with this. All of her money was playing the short-term capital gains rate. And yeah, and I know because we played with the SEC and stuff like that on it. It was 25 months, and it took it from 2,000. You had like $1,000 of extra cash interjected into it? 1,400 at a later date, and it blew up to over 2 million. How? We will teach you, and not day trading either. Day trading is very, very dangerous. You're putting artificial rules on yourself. Anybody here day trade? If you play timing of the market, are you going to beat all these guys whose sole job is to screw you out of your money? No, you don't do it. And so I'll probably have Marquet be part of our teaching when we go over how to do that, so she can explain what she's done. Have you ever had to work since then? Because you've been making your money in the market, not doing the risky stuff either. There's ways to do it. Long-term capital gains, the reason I bring up long-term capital gains is because you never have to pay tax on long-term capital gains, ever. Did you guys know that? Okay, so here's how it works. If I buy Microsoft, I go back in time, I'm buddies with Bill, and I'm first investor in Microsoft, and I pay $100, and then my shares turn into $10 million. How much tax do I pay? Zero. Why? Because I haven't sold it yet. Selling capital gains, long-term capital gains assets is how you get screwed. But I can use those assets to do what? I could borrow against my own asset. So if I have a stock account with $1 million in it, guess what I can do? I could actually borrow against that $1 million. How much tax do I pay on that loan? Zero. And then something magic occurs in our tax code. When I pass, the basis in those shares jump to the fair market value at the date of passing, which means now the basis, no longer did I pay $100 for the $10 million, I paid $10 million for the $10 million, which means if I have to sell it at that point, how much tax do I pay? Zero. Works with real estate too. Did you guys know that? No. We're gonna get you. So then we look at people with adjusted gross incomes over $1 million, and look where they make their money. 36% from those top two categories. Usually it's deliberate because I want to fund a retirement plan. I'm actually dumping a big chunk of that into something that will never pay tax or will defer taxes. Bless you. They make about 17% from capital gains. And where does the majority of their money come from? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Half their money comes from areas where, do you guys have any income in those areas? We're going to find out in a second. So we have these different types of income. The other one, people with $1 million. Where do we get this information, by the way? From the IRS. They publish it all. We can look and see what income lines they get. The people that make $1 million, they have multiple sources. 65% of them have at least three of those numbers on their income lines. What does that tell you? Do they have all their eggs in one basket? Mm-mm. Do you think they're diversified? Yeah. Do you think they would ever be that lady or those people that wrote to the judge? They would never be in that situation. If they had just come to Dynasty, we could have saved them. And I'm serious. Because we would have said, calculate, go figure this crap out. Don't let them have control of your asset. The reason Bernie Madoff, and there's a lot of Bernie Madoffs out there we haven't come across. I mean, I just look at it. 9/11, half the market was gone. Tech bubble, half the market was gone. And when the market drops 50%, how much increase do you need to have to get back to zero or to get back to where you're at? 100% increase. So every time they sit there and they say, oh, the market's recovered. No, it didn't. It's halfway there. All right. So the secret is calculating the following. And I'm going to break this down. How much do I need monthly to live on? And then how much monthly income do I make from sources 3 through 7? Rents, royalties, dividend, interest, short-term capital gains. Those are pipelines, guys. Those are the pipelines. 1 and 2 are just bigger buckets. And there's nothing bad about a bigger bucket. Pablo had to carry buckets for a few years to build his pipeline. He needed to have that income during that time. But he was never swayed. He's went and built his pipeline, and it's rents, royalties, dividends, or interest. So here's what we do. Can you write that down? How much monthly do you need to live? Write it down. You can estimate if you don't know the number. A lot of you guys have budgets. And then figure out how much do I make from the following. Fill in those lines. You guys have numbers? Yes. Are there a lot of zeros? Yes. Wish they'd teach this in high school. Yes. That's your total infinity income, by the way. That's what we're going to be focusing on. Why do we call it infinity income? You want to know why? Not limited? Because I don't look at net worth. same way that all the other financial advisors do. They teach you to look at it as a number. I look at it as a number of days that I could live without working. If I have infinity income, then as soon as I can get this number to be equal, do I ever have to work again? Then I become a volunteer. How does it feel to be a volunteer? Good. Then you're living happy. So we're going to get you guys to infinity income. Simple goal. Everybody in here, next year, can you guys commit to having at least one rental property? Okay. Then it's our job here as a group, because we care about each other, to make sure they get there. If you don't know how to get a rental property, what are you going to do? Ask. Are there people, who here has rental properties? Who here has more than 5 rental properties? Who here has more than 10 rental properties? You're starting to see a very small section. Who here has more than 50? Who here has more than 100? Yeah. All right, so I'll teach you. There you go. All right. This will tell you how much we need in monthly infinity income. And you can start off small. I can tell you there's dividend-paying stock. I could go out there and buy Western Asset Management and get, I don't know, they pay about, every $3,000 I invest, it's about $300. So could you start to replace your income just by going like that? Hey, my monthly nut is $3,500. Okay, so I start scrimping and saving. I start doing that. Go find a rental property that's cash flow. And eventually I get to that point where it's zero. Then I say, what about long-term capital gains? I ignore them. I take that out of the equation. Long-term capital gains are your bank. You want to have long-term capital gains so you can use them for something. One of the things that you can do with stock is you can rent it. Did anybody ever tell you that you could rent your stock to somebody else? It's called a covered call. You got it. It's selling someone the right to buy it from you at a higher price than you paid. And they will pay you money. Mark A, that's something you do. How much do you get off of covered calls? Weekly, how much? I like to put you on the spot. How much? No, I'm just kidding. Percentage of the stock. What do you think about it? 5%. Think about that. 5% of her portfolio per week, or are you looking at it monthly?
Some stocks, yes.
Some stocks weekly. Yeah, you just did that. I like it when someone does that. How come nobody told me about this? Because it's like, psst. It's the pipeline. Because whenever somebody says invest in the stock market, what do you immediately get told? You're too stupid. Or they say, Texas. Bless your heart, you want to be a stock market. All right, how do I create a dynasty? This is fun. Create. Forget the English. Let's go right to the Latin. To put into existence. We're creating. We're making a dynasty. Who makes the dynasty? You do. How do you make a dynasty? You create written instructions. So you build a pipeline. Will your kids know how to run that pipeline? If you teach them, will your grandkids know how to run the pipeline? Will your great-great-grandkids know how to run the pipeline? How about we have no flipping clue? And there are pipeline managers out there that we could have just to make sure. Yeah, you want to teach them how to run the pipeline. You want to teach them to value the pipeline. But what's the worst thing they could do as soon as they inherit the pipeline? Sell it. So we don't allow them to sell our assets. The biggest, fraud across the United States for me in estate planning is this die and distribute. When we go back, let me go. There we go. We don't want to start back over. This is what we do. We sell right here. And then you start back here. Will you ever get into true wealth? No. Don't let them sell your stuff. Put it into trust. That's what a dynasty is about. Can you do that? Yes. It's 100% legal. You can do it for an indefinite period of time, and you could say, these things are going into trust. You have to use a professional trustee to make sure you don't hurt yourself. Because believe it or not, if you give somebody an inheritance, they usually do really stupid things with it. On average, it lasts about 18 months. They buy the donkey. And they put spinners on the donkey. Is that stupid or what? Don't knock it till you try it. We're going to create a dynasty. Right? It's a family that's successful over a long period of time. Anybody can do it. Are you ready to start today?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to go over these. By the way, who here, and I'm looking for somebody who feels like they don't have enough money to put together even an estate plan. You, come on up. So here's the way I look at it. You go to a lawyer and they say, oh, you don't have enough money to do a trust. It's only for the rich. You guys hear that? All right. Could you imagine if ADT or some security company came into your house and they said, you don't really need an alarm system. We kind of want people to come in here because maybe they'll leave something. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So you feel like you don't have enough to create a dynasty. So here's the way I want you to think about a dynasty, 300 years in the future. Your great-great-great-great-grandkids have a huge chunk of money that pays for health, education, maintenance, and support. It doesn't buy them a Lamborghini. It doesn't give them money if they don't need it. It's there to make sure they get an education, and it's there if they have special needs. It's there if they need it. So think way into the future, and they talk about you. There's something that we can do to put money into an estate plan that they oftentimes don't talk about. So, like, what is your worry? That you don't have enough to start?
Yeah, that I don't have enough to start and don't know how to go about doing it all and putting it together.
You'll learn it because we're going to train you. Okay. But better yet, you have this. What's this? Not my heart.
Yourself.
Yeah, your body. Can we insure our body? What is it called?
Life insurance.
What happens when you die and you have life insurance?
Money
dumps into your estate. You can also buy insurance on whom else?
Your children, your husband.
Give them a little shove. Hey, look at that. Dynasty! Don't do that. He just tripped. But it was like an 8-foot wall. I know, he really tripped hard. And I kind of hurt my back throwing him over. No, right. But it's literally setting aside. How, anybody here sell insurance? How expensive is it to insure somebody's life? Not very. Okay. We can create a plan that just as soon as you pass, instead of going the money, we like to have insurance go to our kids and stuff like that. Don't do it. Just have it go right into trust that says it stays in trust only for need. If your kids need it, do you have any, wait, how many kids?
I have 3 children and 1 grandson.
All right. Boys, girls?
2 girls and a boy, and then a grandson boy.
Boys married?
No.
He was
none
married?
None of my children are married.
None of them are married? So it's usually the guy marries that woman. She gets nothing. All right. Anyway, thank you. Okay. So I'm going to bust through this real quick. It's okay to dream. Think of what you want your estate to look like. Think of what you want your dynasty to look like. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be giving it to your kids. It can go into a foundation or a nonprofit that then you can just give your kids and your lineal descendants, like blood of your blood, a job. It goes into a nonprofit. There's several nonprofits that started with seed capital of, there's one in particular that started with $500,000. 30 years later, it's over $500 million. You don't want to know why? Remember the little charts? No tax, no fees, it grows. And if they want to work for it, they can. Is the money there? Is that under your control? You ever heard of the Clinton Foundation? Trump Foundation? Why do you guys think you guys do it? And by the way, I can give it and take a deduction. So if I create my own foundation, I can give it up to 30% of my adjusted gross income and write it off. So it's a good way to, and it comes out of your top bracket, so I can get a big benefit. All right, so we're going to set a goal. Here's how goals work, though. Everybody see the blue box? Pick a blue box that you're looking at. Take your hand, and in your peripheral vision, make your fingers move around. You guys, some of you guys have done this before. Just look at it where it's in your peripheral vision. It's not right in the front of your face. It's over here. We can just barely see it. Now stare at your fingers, and don't look up. Can you read what's in the box while you're staring at your fingers? No, because we take our mind off the goal. You're looking at the minutiae, and you forget what your goal is. You zero in on your goal like a laser beam. I'm creating a dynasty. I'm going to create pipelines, and you don't let anybody get in your way. Pablo, when he was digging his pipeline, do you think that he got a lot of crap from the community? Pablo the pipe builder, look at him. He's all hunched over. No, he worked his ass off for 2 or 3 years, built his pipeline, and then what did he do the rest of his life? He was a volunteer. Make sense? All right. Last couple rules. You can't take it with you. You could try. Pharaoh's did. Right? So whose is it? It's not yours. So who does it belong to? Not ours. We're here. Jesus, when he was asked, it was real simple. Like he was getting beat up by the lawyers of the time, my brethren, who were misbehaving. That's why we've all been cursed to be lawyers. When I became an attorney, my dad said, well, you could have been a car salesman, Toby. What did Jesus say when he was asked? Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and soul and all your mind. This was the number one rule. What's number two? Love your neighbor as yourself. What did he not say? Love your lawyer. No, that was the third one. It got omitted. It's on the editing floor. Kind of like the best scene in E.T. or something. I don't know. Take care of yourself first and foremost and worry about everything else. That's not what he said. What did he say? Was it anything about you? But what does the financial experts have us focused on? Us. Get rid of that thinking. Stinking thinking. Start focusing on your dynasty. Start thinking into the future. Start thinking of building the pipeline. Because if you live for today, like, hey, I'm just going to worry about me, you're going to have the tricked out donkey. You're going to be carrying buckets. And eventually you can't carry buckets. Because they get really heavy and they screw you up. AARP report on probate is the last thing I'm going to leave you with. This, a trust will avoid this. 20% of your estate, this is AARP, you lose it. You lose it on average. Does that suck? It absolutely does. And the lawyers buried that one very quickly. And by the way, guys, I'll give you all these slides if you want. You can't see that I put little sights behind everything. So everything I show you with numbers, I put sights on because I don't want to be that guy. So, yep. So can you control your estate, you protect your estate, and you're protecting it sometimes from those people who are like, oh, crap, I don't know what they're going to have. If I have a special needs child, the last thing you want to do is give them money. Do you want to know why? The state will take it. There's a great case where grandma and grandpa wanted to benefit their granddaughter who had autism. If it was 18 years, the state of Pennsylvania provided assistance. The day grandma and grandpa died and that money went to that child, guess who took it? The state said, thanks for paying us back for the 18 years of assistance. If you put it in a trust, it says special needs provisions. You do not distribute the money if it will go to another agency or cause you to lose the benefit. The only way you can do this is by documenting it. There's no other way. A will cannot do this, guys. Lawyers will take you to a will 90% of the time because they get that 20%. It was $1.5 billion in attorney's fees in 1990. They make their money on you dying. So we want to avoid that. Advocating for others is to become a steward. I'm going to give you guys the stewardship courses again. We're going to go over the 7 rules. Who here is a steward? But we're going to do this differently. You're going to get this as part of the package. You're going to get the 7 rules of financial stewardship. You're going to get the 5 steps to building a financial vision, but we're going to do something else. We're going to do live casts as well, and I'll go over those. So rule number 1 is you have to decide to become a steward. So the most important thing you can do is make a decision that you're going to make a difference. You're going to get rid of poor thinking. Yes, Homer? I love donuts, though. Homer, give me a donut. You're going to get rid of the stinking thinking because it'll keep you in check. You're going to assume the duty to take care of other people. When you're a steward, you share. The best way to learn to do something is to what? Teach it. You're going to repeat it. You're going to teach it. And then birds of a feather, you got to hang around people that actually care about what you care about. Or you're going to find yourself, it's the same thing with values. If you're around people who don't have your values, somebody's going to win. You're either going to take on their values or they're going to take on yours. You plan like a steward. You make sure that, hey, I know what I need to live off of. Everything else is going into my pipeline, and I'm going to make sure that when I pass it on, I don't accidentally give a child a problem. I've told many people about my client. He got run over in a motorcycle accident. We ended up winning his case, but there was no money for about 4 years. During that time, he overdosed on heroin on 3 different occasions. The day that we managed to get the money, what was my concern? He would die within, yeah. So I structured the settlement that he had to go to rehab first, and then there was an annuity payout. Because of doing that, you lose almost all the attorney's fees. The reason attorneys usually don't do that is because it comes out of their pocket. And I'm like, this guy's going to die. There's some things that money aren't worth. You're going to shift spending to savings. Hey, I could buy a nice Rolex, but what is that really going to cost me? I don't even have a watch. I have them. I don't know what they're doing. They're keeping time for my cat, Peaches. And you never rely on a single source of income. We're going to go over all those. We've done 10 3-hour webinars on stewardship. You guys have seen a bunch of them, and then we do the monthly. We're going to switch over a little bit. We're going to do those, and then we're going to focus like a laser beam on infinity planning and real estate. And I'll show you how that works. So the next steps are to make a decision to educate yourself and create a plan. Make a decision, educate yourself, make a plan. Can you guys commit to that?
Yes.
All right. You're going to create your strategy. And then this next picture, I want you to see if you can find Hans. You ready? Because there's no one-size-fits-all. This is something. You ready? See if you can find Hans. He's in the back? It's okay, Hans. It was very cold that day. All right. There's no one-size-fits-all. Everybody's situation is different. Sorry, brother. Can't believe Hans wore that for that picture. This is a dynasty of... This is horrible. Horrible. All right, dynasty only offer. This is stuff that we only do here. This is going to be really weird. All right, first off, 5 steps to making your financial vision a reality. This is a webinar series. We're going to be teaching you how the financial industry is ripping you off, protecting your treasures, creating a blueprint. In other words, we always create a plan. We call it a blueprint. Gaining to give and creating your dynasty. All of this will be electronic. This is webinar format. It's worth about $2,500 if you were to do it. Next side is we're going to create our little dynasty real estate club. We're going to do a live cast. And in this one, we're going to do comprehensive real estate investing, wholesales and flips, single family and multifamily, commercial and syndications, residential assisted living, and even how to use foundations. We're going to get into some pretty nitty gritty. This one also would be about $2,500. And then I'm going to throw in a crud load of stuff. We're going to do, add in, first steps to success. The next, creating a dynasty, and it's on the form. You're going to have the 5 steps to becoming a financial steward. We're going to do a one-day live cast, meaning it's a live webinar that we're broadcasting out, so you see the video and you see the slides, but you can do it in your home and you can bring as many people as you want. And it's called Infinity Thinking, and we're going to go into each of the income sources. That's where I'm probably going to grab Marque and have her teach on the stock market stuff, because she knows that stuff inside and out. 20 years can't be wrong, right? We're going to be then doing a Dynasty Real Estate Club, which includes a one-day comprehensive real estate investing live cast. In these live casts, we will record, so you'll have access to them again. And then we're going to do 4 real estate club meetings. For you financial stewards, we're going to replace the financial stewardship meetings those months with this. So, all right, fair enough. And our goal is going to be to have everybody in here that wants it, we will get you a property. I don't know how, we're just going to find a way. And what I've learned, and this is like true, when somebody gets arrested, somehow, some way, they always find bail. If you decide you want it enough, you will get it. You will get it. Resourcefulness. Don't let the resources buck you. It's $1,775. You sign up for the for this package back with Jen, and we'll have plenty of time. You guys can do it. I'm going to give you another one, though. That's crazy. I'm going to give you a bunch of freebies. First off, a good lawyer knows the law. A great lawyer knows the judge, right? You want to have a team that understands this stuff. I'm a real estate investor. When we do things, it comes from the position of we understand what you're going through. If you're doing real estate, I've been an avid real estate investor for over 20 years. If you ask Danny and Hans where you made a lot of your money, real estate, and sometimes it's just by accident. Timing works as it's your friend when you're in real estate. I can screw up and pay too much for a house, and after 10 years of renting it, I'm a genius. It makes me look really smart. Timing's the most important component. And so we're going to show you how to make time your fine. This is the last thing, I promise. So the Platinum program that we do at Anderson Law Group is we do a strategy session. We walk you through 5 steps. We're going to do a customized blueprint. You have unlimited attorney consultations. You're getting a flyer right now that you could fill out. This you just hand in to Jen or anybody in the back. This is free, by the way, guys. Unlimited questions via our tax team portal. So if you have tax questions, you put it in through the online. We're even going to do a wealth analysis, and you're going to get a monthly tax webinar. And, of course, we have a huge Q&A and a big video library with over a couple hundred hours of different videos on different topics, so you can zero in on something that might pertain to you. Like if you're buying single family residences, how do you want to structure it? That one, plus a bunch of legal forms, all of that is going to be, well, let's say we could break it down to how much it would be if you were talking to attorneys. How much are they per hour? About $350. 6 hours would be $2,100. CPA time, let's say $75. Let's go through all this. It's a big number. Guess how much I'm going to charge you? You ready? There's a $2,500 sign-up fee plus $35 a month. But, because we're evil, we're going to kill the sign-up fee. There's nothing to pay for. Hold on, because we're going to make it a little bit better, because I'm going to make this a no-brainer. Even those of you who are platinum, redo this, because I'm going to give you three other items. The first one is the Anderson system, and this is a binder system where we go through five steps. If you don't have one of these, we're going to make sure you get one, where we go through the risk reduction formula, the blueprint, the Keep More solution, the continuity program, and the advanced strategy analyzer. This is an annual thing. We go through steps to make sure that we're hitting this on an annual basis. That's free. The other one is tax-wise business ownership. Little things add up to big things. Tax is about a third of your expense, of your income. Tax-wise business ownership, it's in its third edition. I wrote this a while ago. It's in its third edition. I just republished it. We always update it. Trump will probably do something mean to me and make me have to rewrite it again. But it has over 100 different types of deductions. Anybody here have TaxWise? It's my cheat sheet. And I alphabetize different types of deductions, give you the publications on how to make it. That is also free. We will send you TaxWise business ownership. And then last one is on a monthly basis, if not more, we have events in our facilities in Las Vegas. Who here has been to one of our events? Is it worth it? I'm going to give you free tickets to come to one. So that is if you fill out that little form that's in your lap. You don't have to do anything else, and it's free. Just hand it in. Fair? All right. Then we'll start that little path. All right, did you guys learn something?
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for allowing me to share with you guys. Go back, sign up, get your next thing, and we're going to be in a break.
Big hand for Mr. Toby Mathis!